I got an iPhone about a month ago, okay? I know. I know. Okay, and I still don't know how I feel about the phone, but I will say one unique thing about it this week, right? So it is unique when you pull up, like, the Find My Phone thingy, and my son, my other son, shares his data shares his location with me. And so since they're on a mission trip this week, I know you guys are praying for the crew in Puerto Rico, it's just kind of funny, like, oh, there he is in Puerto Rico, right? And like, you like zoom in, I'm like, oh, that's the neighborhood they're in today. Anyway, that's just kind of unique, random. As I was thinking and praying, I know you guys are all praying for your friends in Puerto Rico. It's just like a weird contrast, right? I remember the mission trips I went on when I was in high school, and lots of the other mission trips I have led, you know, I was Bob in the back when we led a team to England in 8 and 10. Anyway, I was like, very different world. Okay, that has nothing to do with what I was talking about today, but just something that I was thinking about. So kids camp, who's helping at kids camp this week? Kids camp, okay. So something you probably have all experienced as a kid on one end or the other. What normally happens is one little kid hits another kid, or one little kid does something like jerk move to the other kid, and then a parent or some adult comes up to the one kid, and what does he say? What is it? Okay, yeah, and it's kind of like that forced, right? The parent says to the kid, now what do you say? And then the little kid, like, looks at the kid, I'm sorry. Now, you and I don't know what ends of that you have been on, maybe both ends, right? Now, if you're the kid that's kind of forced to go, I'm sorry, right? Did that kid mean I'm sorry? No. He's like, if I don't say I'm sorry, I know my mom is going to spank me later, do something worse to me. So I'm just going to say sorry, get it over with. I'm not really sorry for what I did. I may be sorry for getting caught, but I'm not really... There's no, like, genuine, like, man, I really shouldn't have decked my brother, right? And on the flip side, if you are receiving, if you're kind of receiving that, like, forced, I'm sorry, do you believe that I'm sorry? No, you're like, this is the awkward thing parents are making us do right now, and realistically, I just want to sock them back, right? I mean, if you've got, I got like the sets of brothers right here, right? And they're like, there's plenty of experiences where you're like, I just want to sock them back. You're shaking your heads at each other, right? Anyway, it's not genuine on either end. You don't mean it. You don't believe it. It doesn't work, and it doesn't repair a fractured relationship because it isn't genuine. You might say something, but it doesn't mean you are BFFs. So, at your table, quick question I want you to answer. What makes a good apology, okay? What makes a good apology? You got 2 minutes, go. So, over the summer, each Sunday, we're looking at different Psalms. Anyone tell me some of the authors of the Psalms? Any authors of the Psalms? Jeremiah. David. Yep. Solomon. There's close enough. I'll give you credit for that. The sons of Korah. The sons of Korah. Asaph. Yeah, you got Bob Scott. Moses. Okay. Good job, Bob. But all of those, all of the Psalms, right, are different conversations people are having with God. It's a record of their prayers, their relationship with God. You know, because I think we've all heard we're supposed to have this relationship with God, but what does that look like? How do I have a conversation with the all-knowing, omnipresent, transcendent being, and what does that even mean? Well, Psalms, I think, are really a collection of these prayers, a collection of these conversations, and I think they give us some insight for how do we actually practically have this relationship with God. Now, today, today we're going to be talking a little bit about confession, right? And now, in any relationship, there will be times when you mess up, when you do a jerk move, whether intentionally or unintentionally, to your friend. Even if they're the closest friend, you will accidentally, maybe even on purpose, at times, do some jerk things. Now, when we're talking about confession, I do think a lot of times what comes to my mind, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think confession, right? Like, I think, like, getting into a booth and just, like, kind of saying, these are the list of all the things that I've done wrong, right? And it's just, let me just tell you the list of things that I regret doing, right? But as I look at confession in Scripture, and this is what I hope you see today, I think there's so much more there. Confession isn't just, hey, this is the list of the things that I've done wrong, but it's part of this process to get me back to a right relationship. It's part of a process of restoration. It's not just, okay, here's all the things I did wrong, and it ends there, but it ends with a right restored relationship, and it's something way deeper than just I sit in a box, say the bad things that I did, and I think it's something intuitive that we all know within our deeper friendships, in our deeper relationships, are all with people that we have had to have conflict with at some point in time. All of your closest friends, your family members, most definitely. But I think all of your closest friends are people at times you have had conflict with, but how do I move past that? And when I move past that, when there was conflict and then we restored, there is a greater level of trust, a greater level of intimacy, care, etc. Because, hey, we know that, hey, these hard things happen and we still are good friends afterwards. So I think this element of confession and restoration is something that really helps us grow in any relationship, and especially in our relationship with the Lord. Now, some people would say, well, why would I need to confess my sins to God? Why would I, like, he knows everything, right? And two, aren't my sins, like, already all paid for, right? Psalm 103 talks about as far as the east is from the west, so far my sins have been taken from me. Hey, I believed in Jesus, like all my sins are gone. Why would this matter in an ongoing relationship with God? Well, let's just take maybe the relationship between you and your parents, right? If you lie to your parents, if you do something that you know your parents would not approve of, okay? And we all know those things. You're like, yeah, if I did that, I know mom, dad, whatever, would not be amused, right? Are they still your parents? If you lie to your parents, does it change the fact that they are your parents? No. Does it change the way you're going to relate to them? Yes. Does it change your enjoyment of that relationship with them? Yes, it does change that. It hinders that relationship. You and I both know when we've done kind of like that jerky thing to someone and it hasn't really been resolved, we don't want to hang out with that person. We look for ways to avoid that person. And that's, I think, the same is true with God. Yes, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you believe that God sent Jesus into this world to live a perfect life and die on a cross for your sins and for my sins, rise again to give life to all of those who believe, right? When I acknowledge Jesus is my Lord and Savior, your sins past, present, and future are paid for, done with, dealt with. You will spend an eternity with God in heaven. But my present sin does hinder my ability to enjoy that relationship with God. And that's where this confession and restoration we're talking about today really comes in. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 51. And if you look at the beginning of Psalm 51, it says this happens right after Nathan the prophet came to David after his sin with Bathsheba. Can anyone tell me kind of a little bit of a summary? What's going on in that story? What is the context here that we're talking about? You way to be brave. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Sees a lady, commits adultery with the lady, tries to cover up it because she's pregnant, and then solution is he gets Uriah killed. So we've got lust, adultery, murder, deception. We got a whole myriad of not the greatest actions. Not the greatest actions are going on here. And I'm kind of making a joke, but this is a huge deal. Like, this is like really not cool, messed up, right? And this is about how David is going to go about restoring a right relationship with God, and how, and this is his prayer in this time. And this is kind of a quick outline of the 19 verses of Psalm 51, where he says he's going to acknowledge God's character, that God's merciful. He's going to talk about what he did wrong, how he deserves nothing from God. Then he's going to appeal to God to then forgive him, and heal his relationship with him. And then he's going to end with this commitment to follow God and asking God's blessing. So with that being said, I've asked one and only Ms. Grislov to come up here and read Psalm 51. I'd encourage you, I printed some out at your tables. If you have a Bible, there's extra Bibles on your table. Pause for a second. Open your Bibles. There should be no unopened Bibles to Psalm 51. And let's just listen to this. After Rachel finishes reading it, I'm going to ask you to turn to your tables and say, hey, what are some of the elements of a good apology that we see from this? Okay? So as she's reading it, what are some elements of a good apology? Please read Psalm 51 for us.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words, and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me of hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach you transgressors in your way, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in your right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. And then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Amen. Thank you. Take 3 minutes at your table and tell me, hey, what are some of the elements of a good apology, a good, like, restoration that you see here? Go. Okay. I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to walk through a couple key things that I see in this psalm. God in heaven, God, we do just come before you and acknowledge we even have the privilege of talking to you, because you've been merciful and gracious and kind. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve your love, your favor, your kindness, your goodness. We deserve nothing from you. But you are so incredibly good, Lord. And God, would your kindness today bring us to a place of repentance, confession, humility,
before you, because you are the all-powerful and good God. Teach us today, instruct us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing before you today. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
So a lot of times when people start off an apology, right? Especially if you look at what you see in the news, right? When some celebrity is making an apology, they start off with something lame like, well, if I've ever done anything that maybe you could construe that offended you possibly, right? I want to let you know that wasn't my real character coming out, right? It always starts with some excuse, downplaying it, something like that, right? But instead, if you come to a friend and say, hey, you know what? My relationship, my friendship with you really matters. And because it matters, I got something I want to share with you because I want to do whatever it is to make that right with you. That is a hugely different starting point, right? And as we start this psalm, right, you'll notice this very different starting point. The kind of the why that he's even coming to God is so different. Now, with God, we aren't God's equal. I can't go like, hey, oh God, you're my BFFs and all that sort of stuff, right? He is our friend, right? But I'm not somehow on the equal playing field with God. But we can appeal to his character. And that's that good character of God is how he starts off his prayer. His prayer of confession to the Lord, right? Notice how he says, have mercy on me. Why? According to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. It starts off with this recognition of God's good character and his merciful character, right? It's the reality that my sin separated me from a holy, righteous, and perfect God. But because God loved you so much and he loved me so much, he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, into this world to live a perfect life, die a painful, brutal death on the cross, paying for your sins and for my sins, rising from the dead 3 days later to give life to anyone who would believe. The start is not, hey, God, this is what I've done for you in the past. This is what I will do for you in the future. This is how awesome I am. God, this is why you need me on your team, right? No, the start of his prayer of confession is really, God, you're the merciful and good one. I have nothing I'm standing on except for your mercy and your goodness. And then it's this, when I acknowledge God's character, right, there's a humility that comes with it. Because I'm acknowledging how awesome and good God is, and that puts me in my proper, humble place before him. The only basis of my confession, apology, or whatever before God is because God is merciful and is good. And it's crazy because God in his goodness doesn't look at me and say, yeah, you are one pathetic loser. No, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 1 John talks about how we are children of God, beloved by him. Like, that's crazy. And so he starts off this confession acknowledging he's not bringing anything to God, but God has this awesome, good character. Second thing he does, right? He goes off and he says, this is what I did. He's like, I know my transgressions, my sins always before me. He's not like kind of sugarcoating it. I don't know what I did. You know, the apology's like, well, if I happen to possibly ever offend you, where the people that start their apologies, hey, I'm sorry you're so sensitive, right? You know, is that really an apology? No, I'm throwing it back on you. I'm blaming you for it. David instead owns it. He says, I did it. It was my fault. I'm the only one that needs to blame here. It's not my brother's fault. I know siblings, popular topic to blame, right? You have a bad grade. It's clearly the teacher's fault. It's not your fault. No, David just owns it, right? And I want to say, there's an interesting thing he says here in the middle of it, where he says in verse 4, against you and you only have I sinned. Now, I would look at that initially, I'm like, dude, David, you know, you committed adultery with Bathsheba, you had Uriah killed, right? And you're like, but I only sinned against God, right? And done what is evil, evil in your sight. Now, I do think, I'm like, that is kind of a little weird, but I think what he's getting to and what he understands is ultimately all of our actions are against God. Uriah, Bathsheba are created in the image and likeness of God. You insult them. You do something poor to them. You are doing it to God. And so he recognizes he's not trying to do any blame shifting or anything. He's like, God, you're right. Against you and you only, I sinned and did what is evil in your sight. And then that last thing, and says, you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. He acknowledges that God has the right to judge him. You know, this is like saying, hey, what I did was wrong, and you are right in that you feel hurt by it. When you're putting out your apologies to people saying, hey, you know what? I understand that you feel hurt. If I was in your shoes, I would feel hurt too. And so he's acknowledging that. And he's acknowledging that it's a big deal. And Jesus had to die on a cross for his sins. That is a huge deal. He continues, and he's talking about, hey, I really deserve nothing from you. He starts off, kind of sounds maybe a little weird to us, but he says, hey, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. I think his point is, look, I know I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. I don't deserve your grace, your mercy. There's no reason why you should want a relationship with me. I think the same is true for all of us. We're not going to come before God and be like, yo, God, you know, I know there's those like other joker kids out there, but you know what, God? Oh, dude, you really want me on my team, on your team? I know, I'm the goat, right? No, we can't do that before God. And he just acknowledges, hey, God, I really, you owe me nothing. And he realizes there's nothing he can do to perform enough for God. It's not like, hey, I can do these 18 good things and then God like balances out any of my bad things. No, the only basis for our relationship, God, is because of what you've done. So as he's already, you know, talked about how he's acknowledged God's good character. He says, hey, this is what I did. I don't deserve anything from you. You're right in what you've done. And then finally, he's going to finally come to, okay, now, would you please forgive me? So he starts off this statement, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Okay, hyssop, if you look at the Levitical sacrificial system in the Old Testament, right, they would take the blood of whatever the lamb, goat, whatever you were sacrificing, they kind of drain it into a little pail, right? And then the hyssop was kind of like a duster, fluffer sort of brush, right? And they'd sprinkle some of the blood with hyssop. So that's what he's talking about when he says, cleanse me with hyssop, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. And he's very clearly saying, God, forgive me. Why would we need to ask God for forgiveness? Well, it's not about changing my eternity. When you've believed in Jesus Christ, your eternity is set. It's about that right relationship. And I think the amazing thing about God is his promise to you and me is if we will humbly come before him, confess the things that we've done wrong, he will forgive and restore that right relationship. His desire for you and for me is that we're in that right relationship. 1 John 1:9 puts it this way, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will hopefully forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. No, that's not what it says. It says he will forgive us. That's a clear if-then statement, right? If we confess, if we come before God and acknowledge, God, I'm a sinner, I did this thing wrong, whatever that thing is, if we are willing to confess, it says God's character and his promise to us, his character is he's faithful and just, and his promise, he will forgive. He wants that right relationship with you. And you don't have to pray and say, God, hey, I know I did this wrong today. God, I'm going to do a whole bunch of good things today, and we're going to get back together in a right relationship, right? That's not at all what he says. He says, hey, if you humbly come before me, say, this is what I did wrong. God says, hey, I want that right relationship with you. I'm going to take you back into that right relationship. It's done. It's dealt with. It's not some like bargaining thing, right? You and I both know about the kind of the bargain game, right? You know you did something wrong and your parents are kind of looking at you like, you know what I mean? And you're like, hey, Mom, I'm sorry I did that. I was out, I didn't take out the trash, but don't worry. I'm going to do it perfect for the next like 3 weeks and not have any problem. And I also like did the dishes, right? It's that bargain game we want to play. God is like, you can't offer me anything. It's not a bargain game. It's the promises of God. And the promise of God is that when we come before him and we say, God, hey, I know I've done this wrong. God says, okay, wife's clean. Like the right relationship with you can happen right now. It's not a bargain. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And again, on this theme of restoration, right? He said, hey, please forgive me. Look at how he continues, right? As he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, right? He goes and he says, hey, I know I did this thing wrong, but my goal and God's goal for you and for me is back to this right relationship. And so he's like, hey, I want a pure heart where I'm not seeking after all this junk. Part of David's problem, he started seeking after junk. He wasn't doing the right thing, seeking after junk. He's like, give me that pure heart. Renew a steadfast, a spirit that's not looking in the wrong direction. Renew that right spirit within me. Then he says, don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. He had seen what happened to Saul and things like that. And he's like, Lord, I want to be back in your presence. I want to be with you and restore the joy of my salvation. You know, I know for myself when I know I've done things wrong that I just don't want to deal with. I haven't confessed them to the Lord. I'm frustrated. I don't want to deal with it. The result that happens in my life is I just see so much of the joy just spew out of my life, right? It's not there anymore. The things that used to give me joy just are dead and dry. And he's saying, Lord, I know my sin has caused a barrier between you and me, God, and I don't want that anymore. And so I'm bringing it before you. And because you are a compassionate and good and kind God, thank you, God. And now restore this right relationship, because when I'm in this right relationship, there's a natural joy that just overflows in everything I do. And so that's kind of his heart and his prayer there. Right? Isn't just, hey, God, please forgive me. I don't want to be too bad of a person. It's bad. This restored to a right relationship. When he does that, he continues and says, now, God, I'm committing to follow you. This section, I'll teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Hey, I want to tell other people your forgiveness, your goodness. Now that his forgiveness is secure because God's promised it, his relationship is secure because God desires it, he's like, hey, I now want to go out and tell others about it. And when I understand God's forgiveness towards me, man, the only natural byproduct, the huge natural byproduct is I want to share that with other people. Because he has forgiven me. He has cared so much for me. And he recognizes, he says, deliver me from the bloodshed. Those people are kind of against him. And he says, hey, you don't delight in sacrifices, verse 16, or I bring them. You don't take pleasure in your burnt offerings. God isn't like, oh, hey, now I've forgiven you. You better do all these like good things, like just vain sacrifices for me. He says, no, I want to keep that right relationship with you. So 17, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. This humility, I'm going to keep walking in a humility before you. As part of his commitment before the Lord, as he understands God's forgiveness, is, hey, I'm turning from the past. I'm living a new way now, right? Any good asking for forgiveness isn't like, hey, I know I did this to you before. I'm going to keep doing the same thing to you again. No, hey, I know I did this wrong. I want to turn and I want to live a new way life, a new way now. And David recognizes he may not be perfect, but he's trying to turn and he's changing the way that he lives. Finally, he ends the psalm with this prayer saying, hey, now, Lord, would you please bless me? As I'm in this right relationship with you, as I'm enjoying fellowship with you, not because I deserve your blessing, but because of your good character, would you be with me? Would you bless me? Now, that's kind of an outline of David's prayer. Hey, I've done a whole bunch of junk, and this is kind of how I want to move forward. God, I acknowledge your good character. These are just really clearly and specifically what I did wrong. I don't deserve anything from you. I don't deserve any of your favor. But Lord, would you please forgive me? And because you've promised to do it, Lord, would you heal me and heal our relationship? Would you make that right? And as I am experiencing that right relationship with you, Lord, I want to follow you and I want to just experience that good relationship with you. Okay, at your tables, got two questions I want you to talk about. You got 3 minutes, then I'm going to wrap us up and we got one more song. So, two questions, go. Okay. So, I was a freshman in high school, and I lied pretty bad to this person. And for the next few months, every time I saw that person, like, I knew it, he didn't. Everything around the person was awkward, right? If I saw him in a room, like, he was over there, I'm like, I'm not going there, I'm going to go, like, start walk this way. Like, I knew, and especially if we were, like, kind of, you know, in a small group together, kind of forced to be around somebody, I was like, oh, man, this is just awkward. And I'm sure he probably figured, I was like, why is Aaron so awkward, right? Well, I don't know. He probably, or he could have just thought, Aaron's always awkward. Well, it just kind of ate away at me for a while. And finally, a couple months later, I went to him and I just confessed. I was like, hey, this is what I did. I'm sorry, dude. That was just wrong of me. And this is why I've been like super awkward for a while. And it was cool, just the way that he was like, dude, I forgive you. And there was a right relationship there. And, you know, and then when I saw him in the room, I was like, yeah, hey, you know, good to see you. You know, I'd walk up to him rather than run away from him, right? And I think the same thing is true in us in our relationship with the Lord, that we can't have a right relationship when there are things that just aren't confessed before the Lord. You know, the number of times, you know, there's a kid here in the youth group, and I did this myself in my own season of my life too. Kid in the youth group that were like, hey, we haven't seen him in a couple months. We haven't seen her around in a couple months. And, you know, I like text the kid, ghost me or whatever. Finally, like, I run into him somewhere, whatever. Some reason he finally is willing to talk to me. And the number of times I talk to him, I'm like, hey, where you been? What's up? And he's like, oh, I'm busy. You know, they normally start with some, like, excuse. Oh, I've been busy, you know, I had a lot of tests or whatever. And then you talk to him for a little while. And they're like, actually, this is the junk going on in my life. And I was too ashamed.
I didn't want to be in fellowship with people because I knew the junk in my life. And I feel like that's how we respond to God all the time. God, I don't want to talk to you because I know I'm a jerk. I know I've done things wrong. But the truth of what Scripture says is if we confess, He is faithful and just and will forgive. And that's the confidence I believe we have when we go before God. God isn't like, oh, you again. Why do we keep having the same conversation? He is faithful and just. We don't have to be afraid of His rejection, but instead get to enjoy the blessing and the life of a relationship with Him. Your sin, my sin, was a big deal. But Jesus Christ has died for it, paid for it. It is done and it is dealt with. And we can experience that right relationship with Him. So today I want to close in a time of a little prayer and confession. I would ask you, just go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. I know the worship crew, come on up here. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm just going to pray Psalm 51 in a little bit of my own words. I'll put some pauses in there where you can just kind of do a little business with God. If there's something that you know that, Lord, this isn't right, and I need to talk to you about it. So let's go before the Lord. Oh, gracious God in heaven, You are so good to us. You are kind. You are forgiving. You are merciful. You have shown Your love, an unending love, from generation to generation, Lord. And God, we just come before You today acknowledging that we are here because of You and Your goodness. It's not because we're awesome, but You are awesome. And God, I want to just bring before You the things that I know I've done wrong this week. God, I've ignored You. I've done my own thing. I don't talk to You. I'm arrogant. And that's wrong and evil in Your sight. God, I deserve nothing from You other than maybe judgment. So God, I ask for Your forgiveness, for ignoring You, for thinking I can do it on my own. I thank You that You are faithful and just to forgive. So God, I pray that You would create in me a clean heart, that You would renew a right spirit in me, that You would restore that joy of salvation and life in You. In You and You alone is where real life is found. So Lord, this week, continue to help me to turn to You. In those moments where I want to go on my own, may my heart turn to You. Because You're good. You're God. In You is life. Help me to follow You this week. In Your Son's name I pray. Amen.